Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited during the pandemic from the Amp Radio Studios in San Francisco Bay Area. How about that, you guys? UFC 250, Nunes versus Spencer will take place this Saturday, guys, June 6th at the UFC Apex facility, which wasn't a bad show last week, by the way, in Las Vegas, originally scheduled, of course, to take place May 9th. In Sao Paulo, Brazil. That obviously didn't happen. Let's meet the host, guys. We got a lot to talk about and not a lot of time. As always, we go down the starting lineup. We are down one man, our own very own Proteus. Thursdays are hard days for him, so unfortunately, we need to go back on schedule, but with the whole pandemic and everything crazy, it's kind of tough, but we will get Proteus back on, my boy, my partner in crime. Let's meet the host, starting from North Carolina. Pammy's going to love that one. Hit it!
Hey, guys, what's up? So first and
what's
foremost,
up, Pammy?
Turn those frowns upside down. Put your glad pants on because we're going to talk fights. Boom.
So in other words, you're telling us do not watch The Joker before you watch the news. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Boy, that's a depressing movie. All right, let's meet.
Hey, real quick, do you know what happened June 6th, 75 years ago?
No clue.
D-Day.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow, that's...
June 6th, 1944.
Well,
so,
shout out
to
the survivors, right? Yeah, good Lord. We love this country. That's for darn sure. Hopefully it gets back in shape. Let's go down south to the Lone Star State we go. Hit it!
Marco from Waco Rural, que pasa a todos. Look, not a pandemic, neither Great Depression, unemployment, or civil unrest will stop us from doing our show. How about that? Let's talk to the MMA.
Perfect. Marco hit it right on the nail. Let's hit it, guys. Pammy, we're going to go to your woman, your fellow countrywoman, the defending, reigning, defending perhaps currently the greatest female fighter of all time, Amanda Nunes. She will defend her mythical title, and I say mythical not that she doesn't rightly have it, but there's no one on that roster. I think there's a total of three people on that roster. Her mythical title, featherweight title, she will defend and get by Felicia Spencer, a plus 450 underdog. Nunes at a minus 600. Marco, I go to you. Will it be the lioness, Amanda Nunes, or will it be the phenom, Felicia Spencer?
Okay, so look, this is fight is Amanda Nunes to lose. Okay, the only time this fight is going to get interested if he goes to the ground, because Felicia Spencer is a legit black belt. So it's Amanda Nunes. So that is the only time that I see this fight getting interesting. But if this fight remains on the feet, we know how tough is Felicia Spencer. We know she can take a punch. But it's going to be a rinse and repeat of what happened to her with the cyborg fight that she got really wild. And she'll take a beating like the tough girl she is, and it's going to look a little bit ugly, but she's going to lose this fight. Now, I give him a slight chance that she might win if it goes to the ground. But it's not going to happen. Amanda Nunes is the superior fighter, the more complete fighter, the harder puncher, the one with the more championship experience. She's the GOAT. Until she gets beaten, I don't see anybody beating the GOAT. I mean, Felicia Spencer is no Cyborg. Felicia Spencer is no Misha Tate. She's no Holly Holm. She's definitely not Ronda Rousey. So give me Amanda Nunes by third round TKO.
So Amanda Nunes by third round TKO. Pam, before I go to you, I'm going to get my take because I know that Amanda's one of your faves, so I'll do it really quick. I agree with Marco. Listen, I'm not the biggest Amanda Nunes fan, not because she's not a great fighter. It's just she's just not interesting to me. But she is currently, there's no doubt about it, she is the greatest fighter of all time in the women's division, in any division at this point, although I do think Shevchenko's close. I just don't think she can be touched right now, guys. The only thing that would happen is, like Marco says, if it goes to the ground, maybe, but Amanda Nunes knows, maybe it's you know, maybe, I'm not sure if she had the baby or not, but maybe there might be some outside influence. But even with all that, I'd be hard-pressed to pick Felicia beating Amanda Nunes. So I'm going with Amanda Nunes. Let's go fourth round. TKO, just to be different from Marco. Pam, spotlight's on you.
Yep, Bruce.
Hit it.
All right. First of all, it's Queen Amanda. You know, I don't know, man.
I said we're going to say Empress.
Empress. Okay, I can go with Empress. Empress. She's on a 10-win streak right now. She eats champions for dinner. No pun intended. Her last fight was in her last loss was in 2014. So 2014. In between that, she has Shayna Baszler, Sarah McMahon, Valentina twice, Misha Tate, Ronda Rousey, Raquel Pennington, Cyborg, Holly Holm, GDR. I mean, just completely demolished them. She, to me, seems like she's just getting better and better and better. Felicia, you know, has a win over Sarah Dos Santos, who was coming off a loss to Megan Anderson. So, and truthfully, like Phenom, man, that's like a bad luck name. I mean, what happened to, who else is Phenom? Kevin Lee, isn't he Phenom?
He is a Phenom from Detroit, right? Motown
Phenom. Yeah, so. Vitor
Belfort. Oh, Vitor.
Oh, that's Vitor. Right. Okay, well, see, bad luck. Mm-mm. Man, Amanda, but you know what? I'm taking it early. Felicia's never gone more than four rounds. Amanda Nunes with the second round TKO.
Felicia went five rounds with Cyborg.
No, she went four. Well, wait.
Yeah.
Hang on. Well, she went three.
Yeah, and Cyborg didn't last one round against Amanda. So what's your point?
Yeah, I just don't see there's a path to victory for Felicia. Maybe this fight she should change her name, who I do like, by the way, to Phenom, to buy Felicia Spencer. She is a nice person,
oh,
though.
I
like
love Felicia.
Felicia. Yeah, right. So let's move on, guys. We got a lot of card. Let's hit it. Guys, we moved down, yep, from featherweight to bantamweight. This one's a tough one, guys. This, to me, probably is one of the best fights on the card. Maybe the Aljamain versus Corey Sandhagen, but Rafael Assuncio, 37 years young, guys. He will fight the fading Cody Garbrandt, and fading only because he's moved around a little bit, right? I think he's now with Mark Henry. I think he left Team Alpha Male. 11-3, his three losses. All straight in a row, two to TJ Dillashaw, where he was TKO'd, and of course, the third to Pedro Munhoz, who TKO'd him. Rafael Assuncio, guys, 27-7. This is not the same guy we remember. And he has two straight losses to Marlon Moraes, and of course, Corey Sandhagen. Pammy, we go to you. Mm-hmm. Will it be Cody Garbrandt, or will it be Rafael Assuncio?
All right. You know, I think this is going to be an interesting fight because I think for Cody, it's like a make or break. I mean, he's coming off of, he was a number one contender. What is he ranked? Number 11 now, or, you know, or he held the belt for like 15 minutes.
It's number nine.
But was he nine? Okay. His last TKO win was in 2016. He is coming off three losses in a row. Wrestling, striking. But, man, zero fight IQ, for heaven's sakes. I mean, I think he has, like, the total package, but it's like, I don't know what happens. I think his, who knows what happens. But Rafael Muay Thai, Black Belt Jiu-Jitsu, he's coming off two losses also, but he has wins over Moraes, Sterling, and Munoz. I just think, I don't know, I think he's been around a little bit more. I think he knows how to play the game better. I think he is more, has more self-discipline. And man, you know what, I'm going with Rafael because he just, when was his title fight? Didn't he go, he fought for the belt also, didn't he?
That was a long time ago.
Who, Asunção? He has never fought for the title.
Oh, has he
Asunção
not?
Asunção has never got a
never?
Title shot. Never got a
title
shot.
I thought he did.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Because he always loses
the
number. He always loses on the number one contender fights.
Oh,
he
right.
He beat Asunção and then regained the title after that.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Right.
Well, I'm just like I said, I'm just looking at who he's fought: Aljamain Sterling, Marlon Moraes, and that was in 2017. So I'm going to take Rafael, and I am. This is 5 or 3, co-main.
3.
See, I get confused. Anyway, man, I'm going to take him with the second round submission, Rafael.
Wow.
What are the odds on this?
Oh, I'll give it. Sorry, my bad. Rafael Asunção, by the way, the underdog at +120. Cody Garbrandt, the comeback, at a -140. So it's kind of close.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right. So,
anyway, the second round sub for me. Rafael.
Pammy going with the second round submission for Rafael Asunção. Boy, I got to tell you, I am really confused over this fight. Marco, I think I'm going to go Garbrandt just because he's younger, literally for no reason at all, except he's younger. I have no idea. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Cody Garbrandt, the -140 favorite? Will it be Rafael Asunção, 37-year-old, a +120 underdog?
Okay, I'm going to show you how to do this, man. I'm going to show you a true pro. Look, Rafael Asunção, 37. You know, it's a little bit older for the division. Usually, bantam weighs a fadeaway way earlier than that. Cody Garbrandt, for better or for worse, is a former champion. And he beat Dominic Cruz when Dominic Cruz was on, you know, on top shape, on top of the world, regaining the title and everything. Now, if the Cody Garbrandt that beat Dominic Cruz shows up, he's fine to lose because that was a magnificent, magnificent show. Now, he lost twice to EPO Dillashaw. See what I did there? But, I mean, for better or for worse, even though he got knocked out on this fight, they were competitive. The Pedro Munoz fight, that was a fluke, okay? And then, of course, he got riddled with injuries. And he got the split from Alpha Male that I actually see is a good thing for him. And like, you're right, he's with Mark Henry out there on New Jersey. And I see that guy is going to be able to, you know, Mark Henry is able to control and give the guys a good plan. So with all his coach and stuff, bring in that aggression of Cody Garbrandt and actually make him flourish his talent. Gabriel is a more athletic and the younger guy. He's super, super talented. I mean, the 3-5 losing still don't really reveal exactly how good he is. He doesn't even hit his prime, for crying out loud. And that's also his way past it. I'm taking Gabriel, and I think I want to see him back to form because of the. I like the fact that he's with Mark Henry. You know, the guys on Alpha Male. They don't got the staff for him to bring somebody like him in, and he's now with a really, really good coach. So I keep picking Garbrandt. As well, it's hard to finish, but I think Garbrandt got the cardio and he's going to get the striking prowess to outpoint him and make him very one-sided. So give me Garbrandt on the points with a 30-27 unanimous decision.
Wow, and I didn't pick a method, but I'm going to agree with Marco on this one. I think Rafael's too hard to finish. I see both sides, guys. Obviously, that's why I'm on the fence, but I'm taking Garbrandt via decision. Let's go ahead, guys. Let's move on. We stay in the bantamweight division, you guys. Aljamain Sterling, a minus. This is the closest fight on the card. A minus 115. Favorite. He will fight. 115. Favorite. He will fight the up and coming 12-1 Corey Sandhagen. Sandhagen, of course, a minus 105. So this is a pick'em. Of course, Sandhagen, much taller, right? At 5'11". Boy, he's been impressive. And Aljamain Sterling, guys, 18-3. Aljo is no joke. Marco, I go back to you. Will it be Aljamain Sterling or will it be Corey Sandhagen?
So for me, this is the people's main event. This should have been this should have been for the vacant bantamweight title, because you got number two versus number four. But I guess they got love for the Russian Pirian, and I'm not mad that he's gonna fight Jose Aldo. Whatever. He should have fought Marlon Moraes for the title, but that's just me. But that's a story for another day. This is the legitimate number one contender for whoever is going to be the champion later on this year. Look, Aljamain Sterling is super talented. He has grown leaps and bounds, but still not a believer, man. It's something about his style that tells me that he might run into trouble to get a guy like Corey Sandhagen. Sandhagen is lucky. He knows how to put combinations together. He is a really good kicker. And he's not a slouch on the ground either. And if this fight remains standing, like Corey Sandhagen wants it, I'm just going to have difficulty finding the range. Just because for the weight class, Sandhagen is a giant. And Aljo is not short guy either for the division, but Sandhagen dwarfs him, you know. I'm going to go with the lanky guy, the guy that is going to be able to establish the range. And I think that the guy is sneaky good. Not too many people know about Corey Sandhagen, and that I think is going to make Sterling run into trouble. Look, Sterling is talented enough to win this fight. I'm not going to deny that. That is why he's a slightly favorite fighter on this fight. That's why he's ranked number two of the division. But I am believing on Sandhagen. I think the Sandhagen is the new hotness on the division. So give me Sandhagen on a 29-28 unanimous decision at the end of the day.
Wow. So Marco going with Corey Sandhagen over Aljamain Sterling. Guys, I have to agree with this one, only because Aljo, for whatever reason, I don't know why his coach, I think only one will be there. Matt Serra, I think, is the only one that's going to be there, right? Isn't Ray Longo staying at home? So I don't know what that's going to do. That's the only reason why I'm also going with Corey Sandhagen, but I think he's going to finish Aljo in the second round. So second round submission for me, Marco going with a decision. For Corey Sandhagen, I'm going second round submission, Corey Sandhagen.
Pammy, that's what I forgot to mention, that Sterling has had issues with the training because of the situation in New York with the pandemic. Sandhagen, not so much in Colorado. So, yeah, that also may make a difference. Up to the elevation, they'll be able to train a little bit better than Sandhagen has. Sterling has.
Yeah, I see it that way. I agree with you, Marco. Pammy, let's go to you. Will it be Aljamain Sterling, or will it be Corey the Sandman Sanhagen. I don't know if that's his nickname.
All right. I think this is going to be a fun fight on paper. It's kind of hard to look at all the, you know, their stats. Corey Sanhagen, I think he's very underrated, and he's kind of like a diamond in the rough, if you will. Aljamain Sterling, I think he's improved leaps and bounds. If you look at Aljamain Sterling from 3 years ago to Aljamain Sterling now, the change is incredible. Corey Sanhagen is taller, is lankier, but they have the same reach. So there is no reach advantage for Corey Sanhagen being 4 inches taller. He is on a 7-win streak. Aljo is on a 4-win streak. I think is going to place him above Sanhagen is that Aljamain is a black belt in jiu-jitsu versus Corey. Corey's brown belt, and he's also a wrestler. So Aljo is a decisionator. I'm picking him by decision.
Nice. I do want to say this, though, about the reach, you guys. As a former, like, not even close to being professional fighter, right? Like, literally amateur at best, right? The reach is one thing. You have a absolute good point about that, Pam. But remember, the reach is also established by the length of the step, right? So even though arm to arm, right, shoulder to shoulder, the reach might be the same, it isn't when you add the step. Right. There is a difference there. So let's move on, guys. Boy, we're moving well, you guys, in this card.
Also, the race is not the same with that punching up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. To the welterweight division we go, guys. One of my faves, I don't know. Sorry, I just like him. Neil Magny, a -135 favorite. He will take Anthony, call me Rocco, Martin. The one thing about Rocco Martin, guys, and you guys are going to disagree with me here, he reminds me of a younger Mike Perry. I don't know, maybe fight IQ, maybe the fact that he's so cocky. Something about it, minus the tattoo, reminds me of, I could be wrong. So Neil Magny, of course, won the favorite at a -135, 27-7. He will fight the underdog, 17-5. Anthony Rocco Martin at a +115. Marco, Matt, sorry, Pammy, I go back to you. Will it be Neil Magny or will it be Anthony Rocco Martin?
All right, Neil Magny. Do you know that he was the first fighter that I ever took a picture with?
No.
Yep, he was the very first fighter that I ever met in Vegas. So go Army. I'm making this.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So we can move on. I think Neil Magny again. He's kind of like he always comes out and surprises us. I think I really like him a lot. I think he's awesome. You know what? And I think he has a better resume than Ricky Martin. Than Anthony Rocco Martin. And, just short and sweet, I'm taking Neil Magny by decision also. I know this is like the second one in a row, but both of these guys are decisionators. Rocco does have 9 submissions under his belt. Magny has 7 KOs under his belt. I don't think it's going to be a KO. I think it is going to go to decision.
I like that nickname, Rocco Living the Vida Loca Martin. I like that nickname. You know what? I agree with Tammy on this one. I'm going to go with Neil Magny simply because I'm a Neil Magny fan. Sorry, you guys. That's a fact. Neil Magny via decision because they're both decisionators. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Neil Magny or will it be Rocco Living the Vida Loca Martin? Shout out to Pam.
Man, we're going to piss off Kayla Harrison making fun of her boyfriend so much, man. But it's
we
okay.
Like Kayla. Yeah, she'll beat us up.
Yeah, well, the Rock is her boyfriend, so be careful. She's going to judo toss you. But look, Neil Magny, on his last fight, looked fantastic. He looked like a brand new version of himself. I mean, he looked better than ever. Rock, on the other hand, they tried to put him over the bubble. They gave him a contender, and he kind of faltered. He kind of sort of flopped on his last fight. Haciendo momentos on Neil Magny's side, What he showed me in his last fight was outstanding, because he fought a guy on his last fight, I don't remember who was exactly, that was supposed to beat him, that was favored over Nick Magny, and Nick Magny didn't took it too well and beat the crap out of the dude. So I'm thinking Neil Magny. Rocco Martin is super tough to finish. Super, super tough to finish. But if Neil Magny that show up in his last fight shows up again, it's going to be a one-sided affair. I'm going to give Rocco a little bit of respect, and I take Neil Magny 29-28 unanimous decision.
All right. All the eyes have it going the same way. Let's go back into it, guys. Marco, Pam, I think it's pretty fair to say this might be the Bantamweight tournament, right? Good Lord. Because I forgot that the Bantamweight title there isn't a champion right now. There isn't a champion in a flyweight division either, right? So Eddie, as Proteus would say, the legend, Eddie Wineland, a plus 400 underdog. And of course, Eddie Wineland, 24-13-1. He is a legend. He will take on the undefeated Sean O'Malley. Listen, he's a minus 500 favorite on this one.
Wow.
The only fight that
folds
to Amanda Nunes. I know, right? Kind of crazy.
What's Eddie Wineland?
So, Eddie Wineland is a plus 400.
Wowza.
Right? Kind of weird, right? So, let's see. I'll go back. You know what? We go back to Marco. Marco, will it be Sean Cassius O'Malley, or will it be the legend that is Eddie Wineland?
So, look, this fight is to put Sugar Sean O'Malley on the spotlight. And the kid has not disappointed. Everything we have seen from Sugar Sean O'Malley had superstar written all over him. His fighting style, his finishing instincts, how good he's on the mic, the look, everything. I mean, he got the little hiccup with USADA that actually wasn't even his fault because he was absorbed from everything. And then, you know, he got the injury of the knee. He won the fight with a fucked up knee. So, dude, I got no reason to believe that Sugar Sean O'Malley is going to lose this fight. The kid is fantastic on the feet, super good on the ground, and he's young as balls. He hasn't even hit his prime yet. On the other hand, Eddie Wineland is a serviceable veteran, but Eddie Wineland's best days are way past him, you know?
Ouch.
I mean, yeah, you gotta be realistic. I mean, the last time he fought for a title was on the WEC. That is over 10 years ago. So, yeah. Eddie Wineland is going to give you an honest fight, but I don't think this gets past the second round, man. I'm going to pick Sugar Sean O'Malley with a straight KO in the second round, because the guy is just better. He's better everywhere at this point of their career. Give me Sugar Sean O'Malley by KO in the second round.
Wow. So Marco sticking with a huge favorite, Sean O'Malley, second round TKO.
Second round KO. Is it John 15 on the old on this one?
Yeah, there is a big difference in terms of age. That's for darn sure. And wasn't Eddie Wineland, didn't he retire, you guys? I thought he retired. I could be wrong, but I thought he did. I'm going with Sugar Sean O'Malley, guys. I think it's really tough to finish Eddie Wineland, so I think it goes via decision, believe it or not. You know what? Give me a third-round submission, Sean O'Malley over Eddie Wineland, maybe ending his career. Pammy, let's go to you. Will it be the legend, Eddie Wineland, or will it be Sugar Sean O'Malley?
You know what? I'm going first round TKO, Sean O'Malley.
Oh, wow. Gosh. No one giving poor Eddie Wineland a shot here.
Well,
Everyone going with
it's
Sugar.
Not that, you know what? I think what this is, what's happening here, I think this is like his Sean O'Malley, like it's like his quinceanera. They're presenting him out to society, and Eddie Wineland is the, you know, poor guy. He's the usher, you know, he's the, You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So he's being presented by this guy, and he's going to get his ass beat. And I think it's basically how Sean O'Malley, everybody looks at him like he's a little kid, and he's not. But this is right here. All right, we're going to make a man out of him tonight. So that's what's happening there. So first round TKO for me.
So because we have
I don't know
so
how
many
to say something without being crude, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you said it right. I mean, I'm going to make one quick change right now, guys. I do think Amanda Nunes is going to win, but because our picks are so damn close, Marco and I being almost shadowing each other, I'm going Felicia Spencer, guys, via submission over Amanda Nunes in the third round just because I want to be a little different. But I do think Amanda Nunes is going to win.
Because you want to be a hater, drinking your Haterade with your Haterade cookies in your Haterade pajamas. All right.
You're right.
Don't do that. Keep your pick of Amanda. Don't do that. It's okay. It's all right. Don't do that.
Then I'll
you,
argue
you
with
pick
Amanda.
Your pick and just...
Yeah.
Me and Marco will
it's all right, you know. The difference are going to be like the rounds that we pick and everything like that and the method of winning. There you go.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Amanda.
Don't be on the fence.
You guys are right. You're right.
And go to confession now.
Yeah, I know, right after that.
Yeah,
all
confess
right,
your sins. What's wrong with you?
I'm going to confess my sins right now. Kayla Harrison, please don't beat me up. Let's hit it. We go to the Amp Radio Rewind. Hit it, Marco.
Rewind.
Bro, I love that. That's awesome. All right, let's do this, guys. We had a card, and for whatever reason, Pam calls me and says, what happened to the show? I said, what show?
Oh, I know.
Card. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I literally forgot about the card. Marco called me as well and said, hey, are you watching this? I'm like, yeah. He's all like, well, then why didn't you call? I'm like, darn it. Let's go to this we go, guys. There was a card, and I don't know if I spaced out or what. I don't know what the heck happened. UFC on ESPN Woodley versus Burns did take place last weekend, May 30th. Marco and I and Pam were probably the only people watching it. Let's go.
1.2 million people. 1.2 million people watched this card. Yeah, it was really good. The ratings came out.
Okay.
It was surprisingly good. Yeah, it peaked at 1.4 million at the main event, but it averaged 1.2 million people.
Let's start off with the top.
The fifth largest ESPN. The first legit ESPN car ever since they've been on ESPN.
Wow. You know what? Thank God to Marco because I didn't know those numbers. Obviously, I haven't been doing a minute, which I need to get back on that. Let's get right to the top, guys. Tyron Woodley loses via decision, and it wasn't even close. I got to be honest, I'm not giving Gilbert Burns enough credit. Hey, shout out to his brother who's also fighting on this UFC 250. We forgot to mention the great Herbert Burns, who will fight Evan Dunham. Marco, let's go to you. Tyron Woodley takes another L, man. Gilbert Burns, what say you?
So, okay, first credit where credit is due. Gilbert Burns looked like a contender. He looked fantastic. I mean, he picks a shot out of Tyron Woodley, and good for Gilbert Burns, man. A guy that at lightweight wasn't really the guy that everybody promised he was going to be when he showed up back in 2014. He was supposed to be the new hotness, but he moved to welterweight by accident, mind you, because he took a short notice fight, moving out to welterweight, and next thing you know, he exploded into the ascent, and now he's probably going to be either the number one or number two contender in the division, so good for him. I mean, what a good feel-good story, and the guy looked freaking great. He's going to be a problem for anybody on the division. I mean, his striking is on point. His cardio is super on point. And his ground game, well, that two-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu champion at the black belt level on the Mundials, It's nothing to sneeze about, man. Not even Damian Maya got that kind of laurels. Okay, that said, Tyron Goodley, man. And I was rooting for him. I thought he was going to correct his mistakes, but he fell back into his old backing up against the cage, fighting off his back foot, trying to find the perfect counterpunch, and a lack of activity. He has been having the same freaking strategy since the second Stephen Wonderful Thompson fight. He got away with it on the second Stephen Wonderful Thompson fight. He got away with it in the Damian Maya fight. He got quote-unquote lucky in the Ron Till fight because he knocked Ron Till out. But then Usman exposed him. And he lost five rounds straight against Kamaru Usman. And what Gilbert Burns did, he followed the same freaking blueprint and pitched a shutout of five rounds straight again. Goodly, and some will argue that he beat him worse than Kamaru Usman did. Never mind the fact that Tyron Goodley is 38 years old and that he last fought before this fight 15 months ago when he lost the title to Usman. So all those things going against him, I wanted Tyron Goodley to win. And I mean, Gilbert Burns proved that he's the real deal. But I think Father Time finally caught up with him. I mean, let's not be chat about it. He is the same age as George St. Pierre, and George St. Pierre, the goat of the World War Division, he's retired. He is not fighting for championships anymore. And the weird one thing about it is that Tyron Goodley became a champion as the oldest welterweight champion ever, at age 33. St. Pierre retired at 32 out of the welterweight division, his last fight with Johnny Hendricks. And he peaked late in life, but the game just caught up with him. The guy is an athletic specimen, whatever you're going to say, but he looked a little bit slower, non-committal. He reminded me a lot of Rashad Evans at the end of his run.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't pulling the trigger. He wasn't pulling the trigger, and he looked like he didn't really want to be there. Because, I mean, let's be honest, he got a lot of stuff going on up there, a lot of stuff going on. With his quote-unquote music career, commentating for the UFC, on TMC. He got a lot of, he's juggling a lot of balls, man. And then tried to be the champion at the same time. They just, the final time catches everybody. He's not a contender anymore. I think the only path for him is probably go to middleweight and see what happens there.
Wow.
He might get a new look. But besides that, I mean, the days of Tyron Goodley being a welterweight contender or champion are over. And it sucks, man, because, you know, I got my beef with the guy from Fight Nation back in the day. I argued with the dude live on air.
But, I heard it.
He grew on me. He grew on me, and he proved me wrong. So it is what it is, man. There you go. Good luck. Good job, Gilbert Burns. And sucks to be you, Tyron Goodley.
Ouch. Yeah, and I forgot that Marco did have an on-air grudge, a nice little discussion with, I heard it, with Tyron Woodley. Pam, let's go to you on this. Not only do I want to hear about your thoughts about Gilbert Burns, but I want to know what's next for Tyron. So I throw to you, Pam.
Well, apparently what's next for Tyron Woodley is Colby Covington, from what I'm hearing through the grapevine. But that doesn't make sense because Colby is still, what, is he the number two still?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I was reading and what was said to me over the grapevine. You know, it makes me wonder if he's just fighting just to finish out his contract, possibly, because I, too, was expecting, you know, really great things because he talked about how he had gone to Thailand and he was, you know, training different, and it was like a whole different mindset of training. But then, like Marco says, when he went, showed up Saturday, he's doing the same thing. I was waiting for like all this crazy kickboxing to, you know, pop out, and nothing happened. It was, you know, again, the same old backing against the fence, backing against the fence. And I get it. because I don't know what it's like to be punched in the face for like 25 minutes, and I'm sure it's not fun, and I'm sure you get to a point in your life where you're like, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. And maybe that's where he is.
He
didn't
wrestle by a jiu-jitsu guy. He didn't wrestle by a jiu-jitsu guy. Who the hell is?
But maybe, like I say, maybe he's at the end of his career and he doesn't want to get hit anymore. He's got a good job commentating, and I don't know about his music career, but I'm sure he's got a lot of, he seems to have a lot of things lined up. So great for Gilbert Burns. He looked fabulous. I mean, every round he looked, he just kept getting better every round. And it was almost like he was stealing Taryn's energy. And I think he's going to do good things. I'm glad for him. I want to see him in Usman fight.
Gilbert Burns didn't have a mark on his face at the end of the fight. Not one mark.
No, he didn't. Did you see him walking back with his, I guess that was his wife, and it looked like, I was thinking, was this when he was coming in or was he leaving? Because he didn't have a mark on his face. He didn't even look sweaty.
No, he did a great job, you guys. I mean, that's the one thing that you have to give credit where credit is due, guys. This was a good card, though, especially in the beginning, because there were four finishes in the beginning, guys. Let's do the up-down report on UFC on ESPN 9, guys. I'll go first, if you guys will allow me, on the up-down report. Yep, I'm going to go there, guys, because I have to go there. Shout-out to the Haterade. Caitlin Chookagian, blonde fighter, defeated Antonina Shevchenko. Man, I don't know if it was because Valentina wasn't there. I don't know if she's just not progressing in her career. But I thought this was going to be a good kickboxing match. It turned out to be a jiu-jitsu match versus defensive.
Yeah, it was a good kickboxing. She got kicked the shit out of.
Yeah, so let's go bonuses, by the way. Fight of the night went to Brandon Rosal and Tim Elliott. Performance of the night, Gilbert Burns and the beautiful Mackenzie Dern. My up-down report, up. How about this, you guys? You guys are going to think I'm a little crazy on this one, but up goes to Mackenzie Dern. She did it again, guys. She looks pretty good since having the post-baby. She looks in tremendous shape. My down report, guys, Antonina Shevchenko, man. I'm a huge Antonina fan. I'm not sure I know what happened there. So, Pammy, let's go to you. Up-down report. Who goes up? Who goes down?
I was going to say Mackenzie Dern was going to be my up also because, you know, she got in there and she looked kind of like unsure, and it was almost like she got punched in the face, and then she was like, all right, you want to punch me in the face? Let me throw you down and, you know, tap you out. So, and she did. She looked great. She looks happy. She looks like she's really slimmed down too. So,
yeah,
good for her.
Mackenzie Dern pulls out the first leg lock on any women's UFC fight.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
She
I forgot about
she
that.
She is tremendous.
Up for her. And to me, I got to say, man, I hate to say it, Tyron Woodley goes down.
Yeah, you're right about
because,
that.
You know, it's like we said a while ago, he's not going to get another chance at a championship. He's not going to be a champion again. You know, I don't even think he changes weight classes.
He is smart, though. I mean, he does have a good career. He's great on the mic. He's a very bright
man.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
I think he's going to be around for a while. I don't think his heart's in fighting any longer. I agree with you, Pam. Marco, let's go to you. Up-down report. Who goes up? Who goes down?
Well, up for me, because the most impressive guy was Gilbert Burns, because he became an immediate contender. And, he proved to everybody that he belongs now. My down report is also going to be Antonina Shevchenko, but it wasn't a surprise because remember that Roxanne Manoferi also beat her on her UFC debut. And he also, beat the crap out of her on the ground, man. So Antonina is no Valentina. Just because they're related doesn't mean that she's as good. Murilo Ninja Rua was never as good as Shogun Rua. Rogerio Nogueira was never as good as Rodrigo Nogueira. So for the A side of the Brotherhood, there is always a B side. You know what I'm saying? Alistair Overeem's older brother, whatever, as good as Alistair Overeem. I can keep going. There is plenty of examples. You can argue
Nick and Nate. Who's better between Nick and Nate?
Ooh.
I will argue Nate, because he became more famous and richer.
I say Nick.
What about the...
But Nick, more of the acolytes. Nick was a strike for fire champion. But Nate, it came more like accomplishments and on the box office. So that's what I take in consideration. So, yeah.
What about the Pettis brothers?
Ooh.
Anthony, he was a champion. Come on. Anthony.
Okay. Anthony at his peak. Yeah.
See, and you can keep going. I mean, you can keep bringing more people. I'll tell you.
Let me ask you this. Is it Kelvin Gastelum or his twin brother?
Oh my God.
Nasrat?
I was just going to say that. You're so dumb.
That is messed up. That is just wrong.
They do look alike, you guys. Come on. They look like twins.
That
all right, let's
wrong.
Get out of here.
I was just
going to
say that. Oh my gosh.
Let's, for fun though, and let's do this quickly because we have like literally a couple minutes, but I just want to do this for fun.
Okay.
Another up down report just for fun. I'm disappointed with Lewis Mocha, guys. He really goes down.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And
you know what? Shout out to Billy Corentillo because he looked pretty good. And I think that should have been the fight of the night, but that's what I say. Do you guys want to shout out anybody else on that card or any other finishes on that card?
No,
Chakega looked like a destroyer of worlds, man. He's like,
right.
Whatever you did to me, Valentina, I'm going to do to your sister, but worse. Woo, she beat
right?
the shit out of that girl, man. Like, took revenge on her sister.
That was hard to watch, guys. And it wasn't
good
brutal,
good
but it was
her.
Just...
She looked like a war beater. I mean, if that Chakagian would have showed up against Valentina Shevchenko, it would have been a more interesting fight. I'm not saying that she would have won, but it would have been more entertaining.
Okay.
At least she would have finished somebody, because she's never finished anyone as far as I know. Am I right on that one, Pam?
Yep.
Yeah, she decision.
Hey, you guys.
But it's all right.
I won't see you next Wednesday. I'm having surgery, knee surgery next Wednesday.
Oh,
ooh,
no.
Good
luck with your knee.
Thank you.
Hopefully
we'll play it by ear because it's outpatient, so I'll be home. But
is it an orthoscopy?
Yes.
Orthoscopy surgery, just a cleanup in there?
Yep. Yeah, I have
I'll just be in and out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll give her some
That's
good
cool.
stuff, guys, and we can get her on the air because there's nothing like a drunk host.
That's so funny.
That happened to me too, remember you guys? All right, guys, let's get out of here. Before we go, though, I got to be honest. I'm just going to be honest. Pam got me to watch 90 Day Fiancé. Sorry I'm watching that garbage. I try not to.
Oh, my God. Right?
I'm admitting it. So let me stand up right now. Hello, my name is DJ Tony, and I'm a 90 Day holic. So I just want to say that I'm good. Lord, Pam, what'd you get me into? But I do want to give a shout out, by the way. My guilty pleasure, and I literally, as a cyclist, man, that Lance Armstrong documentary that they did the 2-part series was incredible.
I watched that.
Yeah, that was incredible, guys. Because it's like if everyone's dirty and you're still winning. You got to give some credit. And yeah, he's an a-hole, but you got to give some credit. Pam, let's let me go to
you. Are you
going to
join the
done.
Big boy bike club from Brenda Chubb?
I am in a big boy bike club. I ordered my t-shirt. I am in it. Yeah. Shout out to the thick boys, even though I'm a 32-inch waist. Shout out to the thick boys. Pammy, I rightly should have gone to you. I apologize. Pammy, what you got,
no.
Pammy?
Oh, no. Oh my God. Well, I'm a junkie too. Tony got me started watching 90 Day Fiancé. Terrible.
Blame it on me. Yeah, right. Anything else, Tammy?
That's it. I'm trying to get back to normal life. I'm back in the office where, you know, seeing patients and stuff like that, and it's just weird. I want our old life back to normal.
So, Pam, how can people order your mask? One more time, please.
Oh, DM me on Instagram or Twitter, Pam Dora Box, X's. Just send me a DM. I got some really cool fabric. I'm doing them 3 for $25, which includes the shipping. It's all my fabric, all my elastic, everything is made in the U.S. I order from a company here in the U.S., so everything is made in the USA for you.
And I do have to say, my daughter, myself, we all wear Pam's mask. So shout out to Pam on that
thank
one.
You.
I really do wear those masks, and I love them. So thank you, Pam. Marco, close your show.
So my guilty pleasure, and I am ashamed to say it, I am watching The Flash on Netflix. Because it's season 6 or something like that of The Flash. And I've been following the stupid show, the Supergirl, the Flash, Arrow, Legends of. I watched the whole thing because they tied them all together, and they're sappy, they're corny, and I don't care. I love them. I freaking love them. So follow the Flash, DC Comics.
Okay.
Follow Tony. They're the Flash, you know, the fastest man, the red, the Scarlet Speedster. You know, friends with Supergirl and part of the Justice League, whatever. Follow Pablo Pandora Box, follow Tony at IMDJTony, follow Leonardo Marco, follow Producer at Produce with Michio Produce today. Join us back soon. Follow the show, another MMA cast, rate and review as Knucklehead. We are at Google Play, we're on Apple Podcasts in iTunes. We're on Spotify, and no, we're not making Joe Rogan money, so please wait and review us, you know, so we can get more listeners. great fights last week, a good card this weekend, it's a sneaky good. We're going to leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights and wear your mask. Peace out.
Yeah, and by the way, one last thing, guys. We've had over 1.5 million listens since we started the show. So shout out to my partner, Proteus, Pam, and of course, Marco and everybody else that has been part of this show. Man, over 1.5 listens. Wow. I can't believe that. Pammy, and just like that.
Yep. Out of here. Bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. Who the fuck is that guy?